close enough to kiss.
But Cupid outrun me,
and our lips will never touch.
That much is certain.
Bet your bottom dollar you'll come around when you're feeling down. Arms open wide like the first time we met. Bet your bottom dollar you'll come around when you're feeling down. Arms open wide and you never forget.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Club Kingsnake Web Radio. Today we have singer-songwriter Christopher Reese, and we're talking to him all the way from the great country of Wales. How are you today, Christopher?
I'm very well, thank you.
So you were over here for Austin's South by Southwest Festival. How did that go for you?
Yeah, it was a pretty kind of overwhelming and inspiring experience, really. I mean, it was my first time in Austin and at South by Southwest. I mean, I'd heard for years, you know, how amazing it was and how many bands were playing during the course of the week, but I don't think I was quite prepared for the sheer number of bands that were squeezed into every nook and cranny along 6th Street, and you know, the amount of music that was blasting out of every doorway. It was a pretty phenomenal experience, really.
It's pretty amazing. They'll plug in anywhere they can down there.
And the standard of buskers was very good too. All the bluegrass stuff on the street was excellent.
Did you get to see any bands while you were here?
Yeah, I got to see a heap of stuff, really. I mean, everything from a lot of the big acts like the Stooges I managed to see, and a lot of the old-time legends like Charlie Louvin. I saw the Stax Review, which was just amazing to see, you know, Booker T and the MGs, and William Bell and Eddie Floyd, and I've been a massive fan of all the Stax work for a long time, so that was just great to hear those songs, and the atmosphere was incredible in there. That was definitely my highlight, I think. But other than that, also seeing a lot of more sort of up-and-coming bands and supporting other bands from Wales that were over there as well. Bands like the Hot Puppies were there, and you know, a few others that it was good to see playing, you know, overseas for the first time.
Did you get your fill of barbecue?
I certainly did, yeah. To my peril once, really, especially on the first night there, I dared to tackle the nuclear taco that I've since learned I've become infamous and almost like a dare. And I actually ate two of them, which made me terribly, terribly ill for about 4 hours before my... Until I managed to evacuate it the same way it came in. If that's a polite way of putting it. Yeah, it was the hottest thing I think I've ever put in my mouth.
I don't think you're going to get any nuclear tacos next week when you go up to NXNE in Toronto, will you?
No, but there's plenty of other good food around here to eat.
Where are you going to be playing at NXNE?
I'm playing at the official sort of British showcase, which is at a venue called The Supermarket, which is, I think it's 268 Augusta Avenue, which is apparently a really nice venue. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to that with a bunch of other British bands.
Is that your only gig during North by Northeast?
So I understand, but these things can change. Like last year, I ended up sort of playing about three times, I think. It depends. I think if other bands pull out and stuff, some extra gigs can get thrown in. But I think everyone's officially only allowed one gig during North by Northeast, which is a bit different to South by, where there's so many day parties and barbecues where people end up playing all the time. I don't think that happens quite so much at North by Northeast.
When you're done with North by Northeast, are you going to continue on with any shows in North America, or are you going to head back over to Wales?
I'm actually going to take some time and travel down through New York and visit some friends in Rutland, and I might well end up doing a couple of shows there too.
You spent quite a bit of time in the States, haven't you?
Yeah, I first came to America when I was in university in one of the summers in 1993, actually, to teach kayaking and canoeing in Vermont, and had a fantastic time there, and then returned again in 94, this time with the plan to actually spend a lot more time traveling the whole circumference of the state, and with a guitar that time as well. And it was a real kind of rites of passage sort of experience for me, really, spending, you know, 28 hours on a train going from Chicago to Montana or whatever, and having lots of time to contemplate, and at the stage in my life where I was really trying to figure out what the hell I wanted to do with my life, really, and I think that traveling experience kind of enabled me to figure that out, really, and started actually doing my first ever solo gigs when I was traveling around America, mainly in sort of coffee houses in San Francisco and Southern California. And the kind of response I had from performing, you know, very early original material was so encouraging that when I, you know, when I came back, I decided that's what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, really, and made a concerted effort to pursue that since then, and I'm still doing that, really.
Did you, at that point, go into the studio and do that first album with the band?
That came actually quite some years later. I slugged away solo for a few years, then I started slowly around about 97 probably, started playing with a cellist, which was very, very encouraging. I mean, at the time, I was actually just going to, it kind of was at a stage where I thought, I'm just going to disappear and travel the world for a year, and then I got offered a record deal with a small independent label here in Cardiff called FF Final, and was given a load of free studio time, and started slowly building up this band, which started with a cellist, then came violin, and then a slide guitarist, and then a double bass player, and then finally, well, piano, and then drums. And so I built up this huge kind of almost an orchestral sound around me, which took, you know, a good 2 years to actually establish. And then the first album actually sort of, yeah, it took almost 2.5-3 years to actually record, because it was such a, you know, a kind of demanding experience on personnel, really, and getting time off people. So that actually didn't come out until, yeah, October 2004. But I'd been actually playing with them, I think, since sort of around about, probably since about sort of 1999 or 2000. Also, during that time came some big changes where I realized that being on a small independent label, you know, is quite restrictive, and I could actually do as much as they were doing for me myself. So I struck out a partnership with a piano player that I was playing with in the band at the time, and we actually set up our own record label called Red Eye Music, which, you know, obviously took some time to set up with distribution and everything else. So by the time that was set up, the album then emerged quite some years later than it perhaps should have done. And I actually recorded my second album before the first album actually came out. I went away to record my second album and recorded it almost like the antidote to the first one, which was, you know, involved 7, 8, 9 people, because you have extra musicians coming in on the horns and everything else. So I recorded the second album completely alone on my own, playing all the instruments in 6 days in a tiny cottage on the top of a mountain in mid-Wales, which was quite probably the most liberating and just enjoyable experience I've had making music, really. And it enabled me to see past the first album before it even came out, because it became somewhat like a big ball and chain around my ankle for some time. And so, you know, getting that out was a big labor of love, but became very difficult to tour with the sheer amount of people involved. So it was great to have that in the bag, you know, before the first one came out even.
Victoria Williams was on what, the first album?
No, she's going to be on the next album, which will come out, which will be the third album, called Cautionary Tales, which will come out hopefully around the end of August in the UK, and hopefully or very soon after in Canada and the rest of Europe.
Have you already got most of that recorded?
It's done. It's actually just sent off to be manufactured yesterday, so it should be ready and waiting for me when I return from Canada in a week or two. So, yeah, she's on that album, and that was a great thrill and a privilege for me to include someone like Victoria, who I've been a big fan of for, you know, 13, 14 years, really. And it also has a few other guests on it, like a French singer called Charlene Rose, who's sang with people like Calexico and Giant Sand and Howie Gelb. And she's based in Belgium, and she's on EMI in France, and has released a couple of beautiful records in French. And it also features a singer called Becky Newman from the Hot Puppies, who I mentioned earlier on, who were out at Southwest as well. And she's got a phenomenal voice, and she actually honored me by singing backing vocals on about 4 or 5 songs. So there's a lot of female presence on this album, which is really nice, and it kind of brings a lot of different kind of texture to the songs, really.
Tell me about Johnny Cash.
Where do you start, you know? I mean, he's a mountain of a man, isn't he, really? And just an incredible kind of inspiration, I suppose.
Didn't you write a song immediately after his death?
Yeah, the second album, Alone on the Mountaintop, which I wrote the day after he passed away. And it's probably one of the quickest songs I've ever written as well. It just kind of came to me, really, which sounds a bit weird, but yeah, it's called Lord news of him passing away and kind of basically tried to write a song possibly from his perspective as he approached his deathbed in his reunion with his dearly beloved wife, June, really. It's just one of those songs I sort of dedicate to him and try to sort of, you know, step into those giant shoes just for a very brief moment, really. But I kind of seem to, the spirit seems to come through me every now and again, and I've written another song recently as well, which is kind of a, you know, possibly from my imagined perspective of Johnny Cash, really, as he was saying goodbye to June as well. So I don't know, the spirit occasionally comes to me with the help of a bit of whiskey, I suppose. but it's just he's a constant inspiration, I suppose.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I know you're prepping to fly over here. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to remind everybody that Christopher Reese is going to be playing at North by Northeast in Toronto. What day and time and place?
It's Saturday, June the 9th at the supermarket on Augusta Avenue, and I'm on at 9 p.m.
Okay, so anybody that wants to see Christopher channel the spirit of Johnny Cash, that's the time and place to do it. For Kingsnake.com and Club Kingsnake, this is Jeff Berenger reporting. I want to thank everybody for tuning in.
Lord, Lord, find me a home. Lord, Lord, find me a home. I know dark clouds gonna gather round. Oh, Lord, find me a home, for I won't be staying here long. No, I won't be staying here long.